Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Welcome back to Evolution of a Snake. I'm Zach.
And I am Madeline.
And today we are doing our fabulous, highly requested 2026 Grammys recap review. We're going to be talking about the fashions. We're going to be talking about the performances. We're going to be talking about the awards, the hits, the misses, the snubs, the flops. But before we do any of that, it's February. And you know what that means? The Snares Tour is coming to Australia. Come and see us in Melbourne, Brisbane, and Sydney. Evolutionofasnake.com for tickets. Madeline, what did you think about the 2026 Grammys?
You know what? I liked it. I was sitting there on my couch. I was clapping. I was cheering. I'm predisposed to like the Grammys. I build it up in my head. I make a big deal out of it. I get the food ready. I'm sitting on the couch. I got the glass of champagne. I make it into a whole thing. So I'm going to like the Grammys pretty much no matter what. If it's really that bad, I'll just get drunk ultimately. So it doesn't matter. But I really like this Grammys. I thought that they did a much better job. Like, something that I noticed that was kind of iffy last year, but was actually really well executed this year. Last year, their Best New Artist Mega Medley was kind of janky. This year, I thought they kind of figured out how to make it as optimal as possible. It helps that, like, most of the nominees were pretty good. So last year, it was Benson Boone, and he couldn't get his outfit off.
That's true. But also, two of their Best New Artist nominees didn't even participate in the medley, did they? Pink Pony Club and Sabrina, those were like standalone performances. So they didn't do like a mega mashup. Everyone's involved. They did like for the flops, but because there were two divas, they had to give them their moment. This year, I would say Best New Artist, like it was a pretty competitive field. I would say that like there's varying degrees of success in that category, of course, but they were all pretty much, I would say, on like level playing field. I think Olivia Dean was the obvious favorite, but like in terms of having them perform, it made sense for all of them to perform together.
Yeah. And I really liked the way that they did the flow of it. Well, we'll talk about this when we get into the performances, but I thought they did a good job. I liked the In Memoriam section. I liked the tributes. I liked pretty much all of the performances. I thought were pretty engaging and well executed. I thought they were good. There were some sneaks, but we'll get into that when we get into it. Overall, I liked it.
The pacing of the show I found this year was also a lot better in general. It didn't sag so much, although that Pharrell speech, girl, be quiet.
I don't understand how, like, you know you're going to go up on stage. You know you're going to be asked to speak. It's a big deal that you're getting this award. You should have something prepared to say. I don't think he had really thought about it.
No, he was this is my home. I'm just going to talk to my people. No. This is a show and you need to behave accordingly. And then he did a terrible performance. So what is the truth, Ellen?
He was fully lip syncing and we could all tell.
Really, really obviously. But I guess we'll get into that later on. Why don't we start with the outfits? I guess we'll have the much ado about nothing, which is the hullabaloo that happened with Chapel Roan. Even she was gagged by the response people had to this look.
Yeah, I gagged hard when I saw this. It's funny because I was watching in real time, like the red carpet, watching all the outfits go by, and I was kind of thinking, wow, there hasn't really been a really good, great standout outfit yet that I'm going to remember. I was thinking about iconic outfits of the past. I haven't really seen an iconic one. And then Chapel showed up. And it's like, I don't know necessarily if I think this is going to go down in history as one of the most iconic Grammy outfits of all time, but it made you look. It definitely made you look. It's also the concept. I feel like what it is, it's like pasties that have the ring in them, as opposed to actually it's nipple rings that are actually holding up her dress. Because I think
that's for sure what it is.
The concept of that, like even imagining that, like it gives me the fucking shivers to just think about if somebody stepped on it. Oh my God, it's like I can't even fucking think about it. But that at first I was like, oh my God, that looks like it could be a big problem. But then I realized it's pasties and I relaxed and I was like, this is the concert of the century. Because it gags.
It was.
I love it a made you gag. Look. It's not even necessarily that it's such a great, amazing outfit. It's just like made you look. And I love it when people get really upset about stuff like this. It just kind of like makes me laugh. I don't know. I like people getting outraged by like a body. It just makes me laugh.
Chapel Roan is the outrage machine. Like anything she does at any award show is just bait for the stupidest people in the world to contribute their nothing thoughts that no one cares about. But I thought that the henna that she did on her chest and her back looked really, really cool. And overall, Chapel Roan slays. She also had multiple looks throughout the night. I have to say, do I love the idea? This seems to be a more and more commonplace thing. And I would say that Chapel definitely, not that she started it, but she's definitely a huge proponent of it, which is having multiple looks throughout the night. I miss the time where it was like, you wear your gown. You get one chance to do your gown, and it has to be your gown the whole time.
My thing about Chapel, especially tonight, is like, I don't hate the concept of a red carpet look and then a presenter look, like whatever, that's great. But it's like three outfits.
Then she had one for just sitting around.
Then she had one for just kicking it
down.
And it's like the second outfit is great. That looks comfortable enough. It's essentially a sheet. It's like very like Roman, mm-hmm. almost like toga-esque. So it's like, that looks really comfortable. We couldn't have rocked that all night. Nope. She put on something else. She put on a whole third outfit. So I think Chapel does do this a lot. And actually, I was watching this reel where somebody pointed out that I think it was, I can't remember which show it was, but it was one show where she had two different outfits and she had two different sets of nails. The first set was put on top of the second set and they had to be removed. And I was like, that is crazy.
It's too much work. It's too much work.
That is crazy. But I wonder if she feels like a pressure to like always be wearing like something else and always be doing this and always be doing that and having the perfect look. It's hard for me to imagine her feeling that way because she just strikes me as somebody who's like, I'm going to do whatever the fuck I want. But I don't know. Three looks is crazy. I liked
Gaga's
all the
daughter.
Looks. Like, yeah, I liked all of the looks, but yeah, three looks is, it's too much for me, man.
I felt that the energy that she was giving when she was presenting Best New Artist as well, I was like, girl, we could put a little pep in our step.
People are getting her for this. People are getting her for this. I think she couldn't read. You know,
yeah,
she
was struggling with the teleprompter. She was squinting. But also it was kind of like, this is your maybe like fourth or fifth big award show. Like it's time to professionalize the operation a little bit. And it's like, if you don't want to be there, don't present. Like, just don't do it then, you know? It felt like Best New Artist is such an exciting category this year. And also, she won it last year. I think it's supposed to feel like a nice passing of the torch. And I'm not saying that, like, I think the trap that you fall into when commenting on stuff like this is, well, why does she always have to be nice? And it's like, she doesn't have to be nice. But when you're presenting at an award show, like, you have to fix your face because you're in front of people and you're presenting to an audience. Like, that's just a general rule of thumb when you're in public and you've accepted a role. So it did, I was kind of like, could we just muster a little bit of like energy? You don't have to smile,
no.
But you could sound excited.
No, I'm getting used to it. Honestly, like, I'm just like, this is Chapel. This is it.
Yeah.
This is what it's going to be. I wasn't bothered
thoughts.
By it, but I mean, I get it. And it's also, I kind of think like she hasn't really done it that much yet, but I don't think it's going to change for the record. I think this is it.
No. No.
I think this is it.
Let's talk about someone that was with her in her sister in arms of new artists that slayed the House Down Boots last year. Sabrina Carpenter on the red carpet in custom Valentino. I thought this was a little boring. She looks great, but I thought it was a little boring for Sabrina.
The thing about me is that I have a real aversion to the ruffle. I don't like ruffles. Mm. And I think that the top is great. I was noticing, and I saw an Instagram, whatever those are called, with all the, where you flip through the carousel, where they were showing off like all the different really minimalistic kind of like clean girl nude almost makeup looks. And I was trying to figure out what it was about her look that like wasn't gripping me. And like, that's what made me realize it's like, oh, she's not really doing the really over the top Sabrina Carpenter glam. It's very like toned down. And I feel like for such like the design of the gown is nice, like all the details and stuff. I feel like the kind of pulled back hair, the really minimal makeup, it just it's like something's missing from the look and it looks kind of basic because of it.
I much prefer the second look that she wore in the audience, yes, where she's taking the picture, yeah, with Chapel, way better. Also, she's put bottom lashes on and lined her bottom waterline, and she, yeah, just looks more like Sabrina, like Dolly on it. And I like it. I prefer,
yeah, I
that.
I way prefer the second look. The first look, I just hate a ruffle. It's just never going to win with me. I just hate, especially a ruffled train, something about it. It gives like bargain bin wedding dress to me in such a specific way, like cakey, gown shaped like a pastry kind of a vibe that I just can't do it. I never like it.
Then we have Addison in custom Alaya. And you know I ride for my girl Addison, but I didn't like this.
No, the high-low, but the low is in the back. Like, I guess it's interesting. It's different. I like the Marilyn Monroe moment. It's like super cute. Mm-hmm. But it's just a white gown with kind of a funky cut. And it's like, and she's doing the really bare face, but she always does. That's kind of like her bag. Really bare face, white gown with kind of like, kind of a funky shape. It's like, it's just nothing to comment on.
No, I think she just wore this so that she could take that picture of her like bending over, which is a serve, of course.
No, it is cunty. And I do like the picture a lot. But it's just like, especially when compared to what she was going to be wearing later on for her performance, is like, this is not giving, I'm here and I have arrived. It's just like, somehow I got in. I got in here.
She's also channeled this energy before, this kind of Marilyn Monroe, Betty Boop, like peekaboo, in a much more memorable way at the VMAs with the conical bra and the really, really short skirt. Like that to me is a better execution of whatever she's trying to do here. So I was like, it's the Grammys, girl. Come on. You're the fashion queen. Can we get a look?
Period. No, I totally agree. Up next, we have SZA, who materialized randomly halfway through the show to graciously her award. She came to graciously accept her award. And it's so funny because like she just like materialized in the background at one point. And something about SZA, I'm not even really like an energies person, but she is. And it's just like something about the way that she moves and like her energy in a room, it's like everything is completely shifted. She just has like a kind of sunshine quality about her. Like she's, mm-hmm, very bright almost. And so as soon as I caught a glimpse of SZA's hair moving in the background, I was like, oh my God, she's here. I couldn't believe it. Received. I thought she wasn't coming. I like
this.
SZA's
like melatonin. She makes, yeah, me chilled out. I see her and I go,
it's she's just here. Relaxation time. I like the dress. It's not my favorite thing she's ever worn. I'm really more about the makeup with this look, but she's always doing serve the house down boots, larger than life makeup. And it's like one of my favorite things about
lip.
All her looks.
It's like
it's
an
just,
ombre
her lips are always,
looks so
always
good.
Perfect. Always perfect.
The dress, I mean, it reminds me of Taylor's Grammy, you know, the Oscar de la Renta moment. It's like vaguely reminiscent of that. I think it doesn't really fit very well. The skirt is like not flattering to me.
It's giving this wasn't made or like tailored for her. Like she picked it up. That's kind of what it's, mm-hmm, giving to me. Looks good. She looks great, but not my favorite.
She looks great. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Next up, we have Doechii. The red carpet look is a hot mess to me. I'm sorry. It's like five different outfits in one.
It's Willy Wonka chic. I don't even know how else to describe it. I don't hate it. I think it looks good on her, like she's wearing it, but I'm not crazy about it either. I'm seeing the ruffle, A. be the like crisscross open top. It just doesn't work with what else is going on. I love her hair. I love her lip. But not my favorite. I way prefer the second outfit. The second outfit, the top.
Oh yeah.
I love the top. The skirt I could take or leave, but I love the top.
I loved listening to the top crinkle in the microphone when she was presenting an award. You could hear it like ASMR. Jangling.
Free
I
loved ASMR that. From Dochi.
The first look, it's like she's going to three different places. The shoes are giving like Grecian goddess, I'm going to the beach. The bouffant part of the dress is giving Eyes Wide Shut. And then the top is giving, I borrowed this from Cat's Eye backstage because the rest of the dress didn't make it. So it's everywhere. It's so Julia is the best way to describe this look. It's in different areas, for real.
She was in different areas. This is one where I said, I think we did need a change. Mm-hmm. And I just love the look
she wore on the stage, though. It's so good. So like with the feather. Oh, it's good. So good.
It's so good. Absolutely Gorgina. So this is a moment where I'm like, I support the change because you didn't need to be taking all that up on stage. You really didn't. So I loved the second look. I absolutely loved it.
Well, I think best dress of the evening to me was Lady Gaga.
Miss Gaga, period. It's so Gaga in such a classic Gaga kind of a way. It just gives the Raven. And that's
it does. It gives the Raven. I think the whole mayhem aesthetic has been really interesting because this is why I hate the Gaga's reheating her nachos allegations. I feel like this is classic Gaga, but in a grown-up way. She's dropped the element of like silliness about it and the ridiculosity of it all. And she's instead just leaning into the kind of avant-garde. Like what she wears now and how she styles herself is much more elegant and more kind of like beautiful to look at rather than just being like kind of confrontational. She's stuck to the color palette for Mayhem. It's black and red, and she hasn't gotten a spray tan in like 2 years because you have to be sickly pale and looking like you're on the verge of death for Mayhem.
I can be your doctor. I can cure your disease.
As a sickly pale person, I appreciate the representation.
No, I cheered. I really liked her look. It's just like, it's one of those things where, you know, sometimes you really need Gaga to show up. And when Gaga shows up and she's doing Gaga, it's Gaga. And it's like, thank God.
You see it and you're like, God. Yes! Thank you. And her face card was crazy. That House Labs makeup. Oh, snatched
the beat on the face was crazy. The sharpness of her, the way that they do the makeup, so she's so sharp, is
The way the dress framed her face too, to really like display the face card. I like that there was very minimal accessories. So stylish.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
So next up is probably one of my favorite dressed of the night. We have Carol G. Gagging for the color. I love a baby blue pretty much all the time. It looks exceptionally Gorgina on her. This is another made you look dress. I can't even really tell where the nude underneath. I think she's wearing a bodysuit. And then this is a completely, totally sheer dress, completely sheer. I gagged hard.
I gasped.
I think it's Gorgina. She looks amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Both of her looks were incredible. The stage look as well, I thought was so nice. The only thing I would have changed was I didn't like the necklace. But that's kind of mad.
Oh, I love a choker. Well, that's, yeah. You know, I love a choker. I also really loved her beachy hair. And especially, it's very like bedroom tousled beachy, especially in that lace outfit. It was just like, I think it's absolutely Gorgina. And this is a look where I loved the almost bare face, or it looks like it's a bare face, that kind of a look. It just totally works for the whole thing. Very bedroom, very chic. And I just absolutely loved it. The second look is cunt. It's so cunt. I love it. I think she is my best dress.
Thank you for giving some color as well, because it was a very monochromatic evening and we needed that baby blue, that gorgeous like pinkish red. I love it so much. But you know what? There's someone who belongs in fashion jail. It's a designer and it's Vivienne Westwood. She has been fucking Taylor up for a year and a half at this point. Finally, she's straying away. But like Pink Pantherist, I'm so sorry, Diva. You look a mess.
It honestly, I don't hate it. But I have to admit, the thing that comes to my mind when I look at it is rags. And it's not in a chic way. It's giving trash that we picked up on the side of the road and turned into a dress way. I think she looks good, but it's not my favorite.
To me, it's do you hear the people singing the songs of bang? That is literally, I feel like she's about to get her rifle and lead us into a revolution. Like, that's what she's doing. And maybe she is, and we need it.
She is. Did you see the interview where the interviewer was like, and you look like $1 million? And she goes, ah! It's so funny. It's the kind of thing, whenever I see celebrities just like, let the first thing that comes to their mind exit their mouths on a red carpet, I'm like, I'm living for this. It's like, this is so good.
I love the sleeves. I feel like waist up, I really enjoy the look. Like, I think the necklace is beautiful. I like the hair. I like the makeup. But from the waist down, it's rags.
Especially the picture that I chose in the doc. It's the only one I could find. It's the angle that she's like, Tyler will put it up, but it's not the most flattering image. It's the only one I could find.
You got to pick a pocket or two. That's the point of it.
Up next is Miss Zara Larsson. She performed at the pre-telecast and walked the carpet in kind of the same outfit. In the performance outfit, she kind of put like a little sun accoutrement onto the skirt, and then she took it off for walking the carpet. I think she looks great, but I have to say, this whole era has been about her insane, totally on point Y2K makeup. And I was really disappointed. I think she was really leaning into Midnight Sun. I think she was like, I want to do sun. I want to do glow. And like, I totally get that. But I was really looking forward to one of her crazy makeup looks. The outfit's amazing. She looks great. The hair is amazing. The makeup works with the outfit. I was just kind of like, I expected something else.
I think the makeup with Zara sometimes is a little bit giving TikTok. And I also think, you know, she gave a very somber performance of Midnight Sun. It was very much giving, I'm a serious artist and I would like to be perceived as such, which is an interesting way to capitalize on the specific like wave of hype that has led her to where she is now. But I was happy to see the color. I was happy to see a ray of sunshine on the carpet. I actually think when her red carpet look was one of the best dressed moments to me. I think the performance look is just like a little belt that's around her waist, right? Because it's the same.
Yeah, outfit. Looks like it. Yeah.
And that's a hard color to pull off. And you know I don't like yellow.
Well, she has the right... If you're going to wear yellow, you have to be the right kind of complexion. You have to have... You have to be... What is it? Like, is it a summer that can wear yellow? I don't know. But she has it. And she glows. And it's Gorgina.
And her hair looked incredible. Talk about
absolutely
beachy
Gorgina. Beachy. So I liked it. Next
the
up,
girl
I have,
groups.
Now, listen... I have them tiered,
Madeline,
actually,
your girls.
Accidentally. Listen, I like it. It's giving Destiny's Child. Somebody had to do it. Oh, yeah. No, I like it. It's giving Y2K realness.
We're talking about flow, by the way. We're talking about flow.
I think I like it a lot.
It's Forever 21 to me. It's Forever 21 to me.
No. Destiny's Child has never been to Forever 21. This isn't Destiny's Child,
so I think that it is Forever 21.
You're wrong. I'm clapping. I'm cheering. I have a bias. Listen, I like it. I like it. Lock me up and throw away the key. This was my favorite of the girl group outfits, but I really do have to give it up to Haim in Louis Vuitton. I really like this. I love a moment. Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot. I think it looks, everybody's wearing something that's flattering. They're all matchy-matchy. It's perfect to me. I love it.
They look like they're going to take my order at Nobu.
Maybe they should.
Or they're going to walk me
they're
in
gonna
and
serve.
They're
going to
say,
come on.
They're going to say,
come on, serve.
For two in Malibu.
Yeah. Come on, okay, sure. Serve. I like it.
I, you know what I thought? To me, I actually thought that Cat's Eye was the best dressed girl group of the night, mostly because they all look like they're going to the same place. And that, like, whatever Fifth Harmony did is like the opposite of what their stylists are doing for Cat's Eye. Fifth Harmony would legit dress as though, really, we could do a whole episode on their like red carpet looks. Every single person was not only going to a different event, they were in a different culture, in a different country. Like, they were wearing different clothes. To me, it's like the details are like the bejeweled crystals and the lace. And I think it's, they each have an element of something. Some of them lean a little bit more into one of the thing than the other. I think Megan looks the best of them all, but I thought it was a nice cohesive look.
I think they look like they're the bridesmaids at Charlie XCX's wedding. I have to give the bone. It is really difficult to dress six girls in a way where it's cohesive. Yeah. Like, it really is. This is kind of like low-key. If you really look at it, it's kind of like variations of the same dress. Like, different fabrics accentuated on different ones. Like, I like the effort put into it, but there's something about it that makes me recoil. And I think it's just, like, too much of
it's
everything.
Very
it's like, it's always going to be too much of everything when it's six girls standing there in one picture. Like, it always is.
It's hard because they all need to look different, but they can't look too different because then you go into Fifth Harmony territory. So it's difficult to style them all. But I also think it's really funny, the photo that you chose. They're, like, being extremely serious. They're being very, very deadly serious about this picture.
They're
locked in. It's a little – I'm kind of like, girls, I know that we're serving all the time, but we could just relax. Like, Daniela's hands on her hips, like, just lets everybody just tone it down. It's a little mannequin.
It's giving stiff. No, I think if the picture was like one where they were like, let's do a silly one, girls, the energy of the picture would be different. And it wouldn't look so much like they are modeling six different versions of the same dress at the prom dress store. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of what it's giving. Not their fault. It's hard. It's hard to be six girls.
I don't think that they tell you also to do a silly one at the Grammys. At the Grammys, they're like, this is the, and I'm sure it was impressed upon them how serious it was that they were there. And they're taking it seriously. What can I say?
What can we say? They clocked in. No, I'm cheering. I don't think this is bad by any stretch of the imagination, but if I had to pick between the three which one my least favorite girl group was, I have to say this one. It's just
fair
too
enough.
Much. Fair enough.
Fair
now
enough.
Let's move into, these are my personal flops. I don't know what Zach thinks. My first flop, Billy. But I don't expect
Wednesday
anything
Adams.
Less. But I don't expect anything less. This is Billy. This is how she wants to show up, and I respect it. This is her style, but it is my right to say absolutely not. Absolutely not.
She looks like a really expensive piece of baggage.
I do really love her hair, though.
A really deluxe suitcase. She does. We're at baggage claim.
In the
and
future,
the richest bitch
when
in
you're,
first
when
class,
baggage,
her bag just arrived.
When your baggage is an AI robot, this is what it's going to be dressed in, period.
The strap over her knee and above the sock is so, it's baggage. It's giving baggage claim.
I hated it. I hated it the moment I saw it. But again, it's Billy. This is her. At a certain point, I do have to let her rock. It's never going to be any different. You know what I mean?
She's so committed.
She's committed. And I say, Billy, I think it's great that you have an individual sense of style, but is Madeline not allowed to say, mm-mm, not for me?
Say it, Madeline.
Say it.
Say it, Madeline.
My second flop of the night, unfortunately, it has to be Somber. They did him so wrong. Those shoes
are so... It's not funny.
It's not funny. What gags me is that, like, okay, if you look at him from the waist up, okay, it's interesting. It's not my favorite, but it's okay. the baggy pants and the extremely pointed shoe that he couldn't walk in, and he was penguining around the carpet. Why would his stylist do him like that? If you can't rock the shoe, you got to take the shoe off. It's like number one rule. There's nothing more embarrassing than rocking a shoe you can't rock on a carpet.
You can't limp.
He was slipping and sliding. He's not ready. He's not ready.
Thankfully, his performance look was really good. Like a lot.
It was amazing. A lot better. And it also, like, this almost looks like it doesn't quite fit him. His performance look perfectly fit him. And it actually looked good on him. Yeah.
Yeah, it was great.
And then last but not least, Katniss Everdeen taking center stage. She's got her Mockingjay pin on. She's going to her interview with Caesar Flickerman. I'm talking about Miley Cyrus in Head to Toe Celine, looking the fool.
Looking the fool.
No comment. I don't even know what to say about this. It's shocking. I don't know.
If Billie Eilish is the baggage, she's the porter that collects the baggage. Like, I don't know what these outfits are. And then you go to Nobu and you get served by Haim. There's like something connected about all of those outfits. I don't know what it is. It's like, it's a hardware and a black and white thing. And you know what? Miley's, again, another person whose kind of stank attitude was radiating through the screen at me. When Gaga won Best Pop Vocal or whatever it was, that not Miley was also nominated, and she was the only person that didn't stand up. Everyone else was standing. Why are you sitting?
People notice that kind of stuff. Like, Miley knows when you are at an award show, you are on camera. So to make the choice to not stand,
the camera's like, in front of you too. It's not like a drone far away. It's like on you, on your face.
If you didn't stand up for Justin Bieber, I would have had no problem with that. It was Gaga. You're not standing up for Gaga?
And it looks especially bad when you're nominated in the category that you're sitting down for. Like, and Miley doesn't care about Grammys, so like, I don't imagine that there was a slight behind it, but it just felt kind of like, I'm too cool. I'm too like busy to be here. Why am I here? I'm bored. And that's not the way to behave when Lady Gaga's winning an award. I'm sorry. This is why Taylor is on 100 for every single moment of being at an award show, because she knows that every single move that she makes is going to be dissected. That's why she went sicko mode during Charlie. That's why she was singing to Olivia Rodrigo. Like, she is up and about and dancing because she knows that it's not worth the think pieces to not just clap and smile.
Yeah. Miley, you can't show up like that and then do behaviors. You got to pick one.
Back to this bitch that had a lot to say about me the other day in the press.
Now, last but not least, my final flop of the night. This shunked me. Mind you, this is Harry Styles' return to the Grammy stage in how many years? 2-3 years at least? Big deal. He's coming back. He's kind of like passing the baton, a baton that he had to whoever's going to win Album of the Year. Biggest award of the night, mind you. And he walked onto that stage in turquoise ballet flats, a pair of jeans, and a ridiculous top, a blazer that I don't even know how to describe. I thought, frankly, it was shameful. I felt shame in my soul as I saw him approaching the stage. I couldn't believe it. He literally looks like he's going to go buy a burrito. He does not look like he's at the Grammys. He looks like he just rolled out of bed and DGAF. It's inappropriate. It's inappropriate.
And I loved it. And what about it?
Are you serious? You said, yeah. I love the turquoise ballet flats with bows the Mary on the Jane. Top.
Yeah, I do.
Jeans.
I like
I'm
it.
Speechless.
I'm speechless. I like it. And when I show up to the Sonera's tour wearing this exact outfit,
damn
you
fool.
Will mind your business and shut
no,
your
I'm
mouth.
No, I'm not hearing this. No, he looks a damn fool. He looks like an
opinion.
Absolute
It's my opinion!
Flop.
I love the, like, I love to combine like tailoring with jeans. I think that looks so chic always. And I like the baggy jean. I love the turquoise ballet flat. And I really enjoy the glittery blazer. This is like a outfit tailor made for me. I really enjoy it.
This
maybe
is
not
shocking.
For the Grammys. I'll give you this. For the Grammys, maybe not when you're presenting Album of the Year. But like if this was, I don't know, just like a candid photo. Yeah, sure. I like it.
I can't believe they let him stay on the stage. Coming out there dressed like that. That's my take.
I was clapping. I was saying, you finally did something interesting, Harry Styles.
It was shocking to me. Shameful. That's all I have to say. Those were my flops of the night. Did you have any flops other than my flops?
I don't think so. I think that was it. that I honestly, to me, my flop was Addison, which is unfortunate because I don't want her to flop.
Period. Okay. Well, there
Benson
you go.
Boone looked good. Benson Boone looked good.
You know who else looked really good? Tate McRae, but we'll never know. Because the only pictures we'll of her are from know. Her going to the after party.
She's a generous queen for even going.
They did her wrong, but we
she
can't
should
even
have boycotted.
We can't even get into
she
that.
Should have boycotted. So, let's get into the actual awards themselves, shall we?
Period. So before we get into the main event, there were some awards given out at the pre-telecast that are relevant. I have to bring this up. It hurt me so deeply and so truly, and it reminded me of something that I've forgotten about. Rock music is one of the most misogynistic goddamn genres on the face of the planet. I forgot. They reminded me. They said, oh, you thought it was girls rule, boys rule. You're wrong. They didn't give Hayley Williams a crumb. It's so insulting to me to nominate someone this many times and not even provide a crumb. And it's like, you know what? Losing to The Cure, fine. I can handle Hayley Williams losing to The Cure. I accept it. I can't handle losing to Sleep Token and Youngblood. That's not going to work for me. I can't handle she's losing to Nine Inch Nails. I can't take that. I'm not taking that. So that
losing to Youngblood was like really outrageously bad to me. He is like a demon spawn. I do not understand why we are forced to pretend that he is an artist that has any merit or value to add to anything. Like he genuinely is a nothing person to me. And to lose to him, it's a miscarriage of justice.
I'm saying robbed. And I want to talk about this term robbed because I'm seeing the term robbed being thrown around. Here's what I mean when I say robbed. So people are saying robbed just when somebody who they think should win does not win. What I'm using robbed is somebody won that should not have won.
Right.
And I think there's, and that is the way I'm seeing the term. I'm seeing Addison Rae robbed. Olivia Dean did not rob her, deserved. That's just kind of like my take. But this was robbery. This, he was wearing a bandit's mask. He was the Hamburglar, and he came through and he stole Hayley Williams' fucking Grammy.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV Licensing.
Yes, TV Licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
This
took it out of her hands.
This started my night. This is like one of the first things that happened because they did all of the like rock awards pretty early on in the evening. And it was like Hayley Williams, no Grammys. And that was in the first hour. I was like, it's over.
Did she go?
Why are we even here?
Was she there?
I don't think that she went. I think she knew. She remembered that rock music is misogynistic. I forgot. How could I forget? How could I forget? Oh,
she would know.
Foolish.
She would know. She's been dealing with this nonsense for a while.
From being like, of course she's going to be nominated in Album of the Year, to realizing that she can't even get a fucking genre win. We need to move on from this because I could keep going and going and going.
Well, your best friend, Cynthia Erivo, won an award.
Cynthia! So this was a moment where I said, we knew it. We knew it. And they didn't care. They didn't even show up. They didn't care. Period.
They didn't care. And they deserved. And Cat's Eye didn't win. Thank God.
Well, that was never going to happen. I did kind of think in the back of my mind, I was like, Golden has a chance. But they defied gravity.
But it didn't. Best dance pop recording. I mean, Abracadabra deserved, especially since it missed out on Song and Record of the Year. It really needed to win this award. And it was true. It was the best dance pop recording.
Totally agree. Tate Crumb, not received, but she didn't want it anyway. She didn't
Zara
want it
Larson,
anyway.
Not mentioned.
I did think that I would have been okay with Illegal winning as well. I thought Illegal was great. But Abracadabra, obviously, is the front runner and definitely deserved. And then last but not least, best music video. I kind of thought, not in a way where I thought it deserved to win, but I was like, if they're gonna give Sabrina a award, it would probably be best music video. And then it went to Doechii, which, by the way, deserved. Out of these nominees, deserved 100%. I was like, oh, okay, well, period.
Why the hell is OK Go nominated for anything?
I have to confess, this is one thing that I have not seen. I don't know this music video,
I haven't seen
so
it
I can't
either.
Speak to it.
But I just haven't heard that name in about 84 years. So it was like a ghost
period.
From the
Is
past.
It the treadmill video again? It's like one of,
yes.
Wasn't that one of the that, most viral YouTube
it?
Videos ever?
It's one of the first videos I remember it? Watching on YouTube.
It, you know what? They made history. But 2026, girls, I'm asking. Mind you, we haven't
we
seen
can't.
It. We don't know what we're talking about. So that was everything from the pre-telecast that I thought we should comment on. Now on to the main telecast. So the very first award that they gave out was Best Rap Album, which I thought was kind of interesting that they started there. Of course, it went to Kendrick Lamar. In the back of my mind, I was like, it could go to Tyler, the Creator. But then it went to Kendrick, and it was like, of course it's going to Kendrick. Of course, I mean, it's Kendrick Lamar. He is one of those Grammy darlings that I just think, and deserved, by the way, but of course.
He's never not going to win. Something I would like to point out that I thought was interesting is that when Kendrick got up on stage, he mentioned all of the nominees except for Glorilla. And I was kind of like, how are we not going to say, I see you, to the only girl in the category?
I don't think he mentioned Jid. He didn't mention Jid. He only mentioned Tyler and Cliff.
Oh, he didn't mention Jid? But I still feel as though often rap and country can still sometimes be a little bit of a boys club. I think it would have been nice if we're given shout outs to have given a shout out in that moment.
Totally. No, I agree. Classic. It's male behavior. What do we expect?
It's a man's world.
It's a man's world, but it would be nothing without a woman. Thank
Glorilla,
you so
we salute you. Thank
we
you.
We salute you, Glorilla. Thank you so much. Up next, Best Musica Urbana Album. Who do you think? I mean, come on. It was Bad Bunny. We knew it from the start. We knew it was Bad Bunny. Something really interesting is that because you know they don't do every single award on the main telecast. So when they announced that they were going to do rap album, Musica Urbana, pop vocal, pop solo performance, in addition to the main four, people were speculating because there's like this arbitrary rule that the Grammys has where it's like, unless you're winning in the big four, they don't really want you up on stage accepting an award more than twice. So you can win your genre category and album of the year, but you couldn't win your genre category and song of the year and album of the year on on television. Does that make sense? That's apparently some arbitrary rule that the Grammys have. I learned that from the Grammy guru. So
the Grammy guru.
When it was announced that they were presenting the Musica Urbana album on telecast, people were speculating they're televising that because they're not going to give Bad Bunny album of the year because they're going to like give him the genre award. And so he can be televised for that. But I knew the truth. I knew. I was like, there's
all signs were pointing.
All signs were pointing. So I was clapping and I was cheering. It was amazing.
He's so sexy. He's so fine.
You know what moment where I thought I'm gonna literally jump into the screen? When he was going up for album of the year, he turned to the girl who usually just stands on the side and like holds the award until it's time to give it away, and he went out of his way to look her in the eye and shake her hand and say thank you. And I was like, that I'm gonna
Taylor to the police at the Met Gala.
To me, I was like, something about that level of like, I don't know, just like being so chivalrous and like nobody else did that all night. Nobody else ever pays attention to those girls. And I was like, he's so hot. Just for that.
He's so sexy. Can I just say that the bits that he was subjected to at the hands of Trevor Noah, like terrorizing him the entire evening. I was like, this is
It wasn't
so
right. Leave him alone.
Thank God he's going. I forgot how terrible, like we need to leave him in 2013. He belongs on the BuzzFeed homepage and he should never ever be taken out of that space. I'm sick of him. Thank God it's his last year.
I wonder who's going to do it next year.
Nikki Glaser, please, please steal her from the Golden Globes. Let
you
her
know
do
what?
It.
She's somebody who I forgot to mention in the outfits. I thought that her look was so different to something that I would normally see her wear, that black gown. I think it's
very
because
sexy.
We're coming off the Golden Globes and she was doing, I love that pink gown she wore. I love the red gown she wore on that show. And they were also bright. This one was kind of like dark and sort of like industrial almost. I thought it was kind of different for her. So just to comment on Nikki Glaser's look, I thought it was great. Different.
The Grammys is like the sexiest award show. It's like still
yeah,
formal,
because,
but sexy.
Yeah. You cannot. If J-Lo had shown up to the Oscars in that green dress, they would have asked her to leave. You can't.
Said,
you
ma'am.
Can't show up to the Oscars like that. But the Grammys is sexy and it's free and loose and you can show up in anything as long as you're coming correct. What you can't show up in is turquoise ballet flats and a pair of jeans.
No, you can. You can. It's the perfect night to do that. It's the perfect night to wear your ballet flats and pirouette on stage.
Oh, speaking if
and
we're
do
talking
performative
bad money,
male behavior.
We're talking men, we're talking outfits, we're talking Bad Bunny. I loved his outfit. Absolutely loved it. He looked so
I loved the
ready
back
to,
of the
ready to win album of the year is how I would describe that.
I loved the back of the suit, but the cut of the front of it, I saw it on the carpet and I saw a picture of how it looked like on the runway. And it just was styled a bit weird. So not my favorite, but I thought, I mean, he's so sexy that like he can wear literally whatever.
Period.
I'm looking.
Okay, up next.
Respectfully.
Best pop vocal album. Now, I wanted Mayhem to win, but I kind of predicted Man's Best Friend would win. Thank God. Thank God Mayhem won. I have to clap and cheer. I was cheering. She was gagged, too. I was surprised by how gagged she was to win. She really surprised.
She was so happy. I feel like she, I don't know. I think Lady Gaga is truly one of those artists that doesn't expect. And that's what I like the most about her is that she really, I think, makes her art to please her creative like whims. She doesn't do it to win awards. And so I think she's always surprised and she's very humble and gracious. And I think she's always like a pleasure to work with. So I think that her humility serves her really well in award show moments because it just reveals that she is like a very, I think just pure intended person. I'm really glad it didn't go to Swag by Justin Bieber and Teddy Swims.
Teddy Swims would have put me in the mental institution. That is
he
like
did
one
put
thing
me in the mental institution. What award did he win?
Out.
Country?
I don't think Teddy Swims. No, no. You're thinking of Jelly Roll.
Oh.
You're thinking of Jelly Roll.
Do you have that in here?
But they're
him.
The same. Different
they're the same.
Font, same man.
They are Post Malone's ugly stepsisters. The three of them together. They are literally the evil stepsisters. I'm sick of seeing them. And
they're
yeah, if Teddy
real.
Swims had won, I also would have started a revolution. But can we talk about that acceptance speech that Jelly Roll did?
He was evangelizing. DTM. He was doing Hillsong worship. I was really uncomfortable with it.
It was mega church.
Let's give it up to God. Oh God, this especially like country awards, like that's a thing. But like you are screaming like you are on tunnel, dude. You are on, did you know there's a tunnel under Ocean Boulevard? You are screaming at us with a, did he not have a Bible in his hand? It was evangelization. I was like, this is too much.
And he kept saying Jesus is for everyone. And it's like, okay, so the nebulous thinking of God, I have no problem with. But the whole like Jesus this, Jesus that, I didn't ask. I'm sorry. And the religious people are doing psychosis in my comments on TikTok. And I'm saying, I don't give a fuck. I don't come to the Grammys to get evangelized at. So if it's giving between that and Ordinary, which is already a mega church song, it was just too much for me.
there was a little bit too much churchiness going on, and that really put me over the edge. It was inappropriate.
There were other people. I think Pharrell did some God stuff too. SZA did it very briefly. Well, SZA did it in a way that doesn't bother me.
Pharrell and SZA weren't screaming into the mic, spittle coming off of their face with a Bible in their hand, whipping it around, yelling at us about how we have to go to Jesus. I'm going to let people say glory to God. Doesn't bother me. I'm not giving any glory. I'll tell you that. But if you want to, glory up. I don't, I DGAF. Don't preach to me, man. That's where
you're gonna lose me. Don't proselytize.
Yeah.
I don't like it. So it's not fun for me.
So mayhem deserved. I mean, that's the point. Mayhem deserved. Thank you so much. And nothing for Teddy Swims. Thank you.
The next turn of events shocked literally everyone in the audience, everyone at home, and the person who received the award. We have Lola Young winning Best Pop Solo Performance for Messy. She sprinted across the room. She literally was
I would be gagged too. Up against Gaga, Chapel Roan, Sabrina Carpenter. And they said, I'm too messy and I'm too fucking clean. Period. I'm not mad about this. This did not bother me because honestly, looking at the category now, I mean, it's not like there was somebody who's like, oh my God, so deserved. I can't believe it. I'm cool. Gaga got hers. I wasn't crazy about the Subway. Manchild, take it or leave it. Sure, messy. Take it away.
I would have given it to Manchild. That would have been my preferred avenue for a nomination and a win. But, you know, Lola Young, when she was on stage, I was like, this is Adele, the Rhea. The Grammys love a British wave. They really do. She was like crying and swearing in her speech. Like, this is Adele flashbacks. So
they love that.
Lola Young was gagged, and I enjoyed watching her be gagged. So I'm happy that she has the award. Would I have given it to her? No. But congratulations, Lola Young.
Congratulations to Miss Lola Young. Up next, Best New Artist, Chapel, DGAF. But Olivia Dean has won.
She didn't care.
Congratulations, Olivia Dean. That was probably, I think, speaking of the betting and all that, people were betting on this, I think, more than any other. It seemed like so obvious that she was going to win. I think it was something like 85% or something like that were the odds. Not that I know anything about that or understand what it means, but I kept seeing it. So there you have it. So
I wish they'd release the vote percentages afterwards because I really want, like, I would love to see, like, who was the runner up here. I think Olivia Dean, her only serious contender here, I would have said would have been Leon Thomas and then Somber. I think that would have been, like, the closest. But I thought Olivia Dean's, like, it was such a classic Grammy win. It was the only really classic Grammys moment of the night. Mm-hmm. You have this beautiful girl sobbing in her dress. It's been a long time coming. She gets up there. She looks stunning and beautiful. Like, it was just, it felt very anointed of her to win.
It was anointed. And you know what? I was looking at the list of people who have won it in the past 6 years, and pretty much all of them are still around and doing the thing. You know how sometimes you win Best New Artist and nobody ever hears from you again? Pretty much
the last
all
5 years.
Yeah.
They're up.
They're all still here. They are all still here and they're still rocking it. So, and all women.
And that's not going to change anytime soon.
You hear that, Kendrick Lamar?
Speaking of.
I'm kidding. It was a joke.
Record
of the year. This one surprised me. Sometimes I don't know because everybody knows I'm saying SZA for all the awards. SZA should win everything. I actually really didn't think that Luther, I thought it was in the running for sure. I did not think it was out of the question, but I felt so strongly about an Anxiety or an APT or a Manchild win that like it didn't occur to me that Luther could actually win. And then when it did, I was like, I don't know why I didn't see this one coming. It's such the obvious choice. Now that I have like hindsight, I cheered. SZA on stage. And I loved the fact that nobody wanted to talk. I loved that.
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, Soundwave. he did not want to take that microphone.
It was hot potato.
Yeah.
Hot potato. Let's also not forget Cher presenting it and giving it to Luther Vandross. That killed me. And they took it in such a good way. Everybody was very good humored and gracious about it. Because it's Cher. You can't get mad at Cher.
After the ceremony, you know, SZA was doing like the post-carpet, you know, post-awards interviews. And the interviewer was like, well, what did you think about Cher actually giving the award to Luther Vandross? And she cut it off so fast. She was like, no, she detected the energy. the song is for Luther Vandross, and she knew that, and we were all, and you know, she starts it on her, we were all connected, and I think Cher felt that.
Yeah,
I was like,
yeah, Mother, yes! Mother Earth.
Yes! Mother Earth energy. Nature, yes! I thought that something occurred where it's like, did you guys not tell Cher what to do? Did you not do a run through?
It was giving Nana late? And not her fault. She seemed confused as to literally what her marks were.
They didn't tell her what was going on. And that's on them.
And they randomly handed her an award too. Like, it wasn't well organized.
No, it was a mess.
When
it
she was walked like, she... off, he was like, can you come back and announce the record?
It was clear that like, maybe she wasn't supposed to be there and it was like a last minute thing. I don't know what was going on, but she didn't know. She did not know a damn thing. And you know what? I clapped and I cheered. I enjoyed it.
I liked it. I thought it was great. I do think between this and Song of the Year, I was very surprised that APT didn't win at least one of those because I really do think it deserved. Record of the Year actually probably more than Song.
Me too. I thought that this one had APT had a really good chance here. Yeah.
But no.
But no.
It didn't.
To the SZA. You should have known.
I don't even really like to talk about what happened next. I don't like that.
Now, we were talking about robbery earlier. If you want to ask me what was the only robbery that actually occurred on the main stage at the Grammys, it's got to be this. And it's not for any specific person. In my opinion, every other song that's nominated, except for the one that actually won, deserved
every
it more.
Every song.
Single song deserved it more. I don't know Wildflower. I know every other single song. I'm in the phone. I should know this song, and I don't. I don't think it's not going to have an impact where it's like, we're going to be talking about this song in 5 years. And
it's not even a classic Billie Eilish song.
No.
Like, it's not one of her best. But when I think of Billie, it's like not a song that I really am considering. I mean, I guess she just is Grammy. She's so beloved by the Grammys, clearly. And I just think that this was a highway robbery. I think that APT could have won. Again, I could make a case for every other song in this category. But specifically to me, the robberies would be Abracadabra and APT.
Absolutely.
They
agree.
Were moments. They Even were Golden moments. Was like a real
Golden
moment.
Was a moment.
It was a different movement
Anxiety.
Of a thing. Like,
every
you
single
can't
song.
Look at me in the face
every
and say
song.
That Wildflower was the song of 2025. What?
No, it just doesn't click in my brain. That's just not. I think I can't remember if she's tied or if she has more than anybody else. It's either she's tied for having the most Grammys for Song of the Year or she has more than everybody else. I can't remember. She has 6, though. I know that. And I think.
Wow.
Okay. I think that every other Song of the Year that Billie has won, I am comfortable with the fact that she has won that one. This is the first one where I'm like, no, that was highway robbery. That was favoritism.
Not deserved.
People are just voting.
It just was not deserved.
It wasn't right. That's just kind of my take.
Sorry.
And that's on period.
Album of the Year,
Bad
Bunny. We cheered.
Album of the Year, Bad Bunny. We cheered so freaking loud. You could hear it from all the way at the top of the space station. I knew it's like when I was looking at it in the 2 days before the Grammys, I was like, you know, I have to be honest. I'd take a Lady Gaga win for sure. But, like, there's just something about that fucking Bad Bunny record where it just really feels like it is the album of the year, especially coming into the Super Bowl performance that he's going to be doing in just a few days, which I can't wait for. I think it's going to be amazing. It just makes the most sense. Like, I wouldn't have picked anybody else. I wouldn't have picked anybody else.
No, it was an incredible win. An incredible win and also a historic win. I said on TikTok that it was the first foreign language win of album of the year. And I was corrected. There was actually, I believe, a Portuguese album in 1964 that won album of the year.
Really?
Apparently. But it was the first Spanish language album of the year. And I think that, I mean, also talk about the timing of it all happening. Like, it's very prudent for this win to be happening now and for Bad Bunny to give his speech pretty much almost entirely in Spanish. I felt that it was just an uncontested moment of like, yeah, this was deserved.
More than deserved. And it's not over. Bad Bunny cultural takeover continues, and I will be seated. This is a good point to mention. Somebody, I won't name names, somebody is trying to have an Alterna halftime show. Nobody's going to watch that, and you know that. The All-American
with Kid
halftime
Rock?
Show with Kid Rock.
Oh, really?
Nobody's
I was just guessing.
Watching that.
Well,
yeah, with
enjoy
Kid Rock.
That. Wow. Why don't we get Billy Ray Cyrus up there? He can help.
Everybody else is going to be watching the actual show with the actual artiste at Bunny Bowl. Thank you so much. And you guys can have your loser convention. We're going to be rocking with our ears up, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you.
Yeah, ears up because we were bunny this way.
Yeah. Now, it would be remiss if I didn't mention there's somebody in particular that won nothing. People are talking about it. Her name is Sabrina.
I'm not surprised. Are you?
No, I'm not.
She had her year.
Cut to her Miss Americana. Her Miss Americana. No, I'm going to make a better album. No, I'm making a better album.
She, maybe so. I mean, I didn't feel like she was robbed, particularly of anything other than Song of the Year, which Manchild deserved over Wildflower easily. It's great
I'm
to be
okay
nominated.
With her not winning anything this cycle. I really do feel like I'm okay with it. And I think she really had that short and sweet moment. And short and sweet, still to this day, like I've been sitting with Man's Best Friend. It's been out for quite a while now, 6, 7, 8 months, something like that. And it's like, damn, short and sweet is just still that girly. And it's like Man's Best Friend wasn't different or innovative enough from Short and Sweet for I think it to be awarded on top of Short and Sweet. Does that make sense?
If she had done Short and Sweet this year, you know what I mean? I think she would have swept. I think she would have done a Best New Artist. She would have done an Album of the Year and potentially Song of the Year too. Like if this was her Short and Sweet year, given the competition, I think she could have really cleaned up. But, I think she got nominated. I think she could have won something for Manchild, like music video or something, but no, like, daylight robberies.
No. And that's the only person that I think was, like, a big name that walked home with nothing off the top of my head, I think.
Well.
Period.
Unfortunate
on
for you,
to the
but
performances.
I'm going to let you finish.
I'm going to let you finish. On to the performances. So, opening performance, I actually thought this was a great choice to do Rosé and Bruno Mars. The energy was up. She was Avril Lavigne, tie on. And she didn't care who knew it. She did not care who knew she was doing Avril on the main stage. She sounded amazing. I thought it was a great performance. I cheered.
Oh, Rosé robbed. Sorry. In terms of people that were robbed, it just came back to me.
Oh, Rosé.
Like,
APT robbed.
Rosé robbed.
APT robbed.
It definitely was. It could have done pop duo. I could, like, there are multiple ways that this could have been awarded. I think that two Bruno Mars performances in a night is interesting, and I think this was the better one, if I'm being totally honest. I thought this was, like, the
for
killer,
sure.
And the other one was kind of forgettable by a Bruno Mars standard.
For sure. Yeah. No, I definitely – it's just such a great way to open the show. Show opener really sets the tone, and this kind of high-energy, fun, very, like, dancey sort of a moment is a great way to kick off the show. I cheered. I was cheering the whole time.
I liked it.
Thank you so much.
Fun.
I liked it a lot.
High energy. Thank you.
Up next is Sabrina with Manchild. PETA. I knew they were going to be called. I saw that bird. I said,
as soon as I saw the bird,
stepped in it. You don't even know what you're doing. You don't even know what you're doing.
It just wasn't necessary as well. Like
it was
like Slave for You. We needed the tiger and we needed the snake. Like that was very essential. The bird. This is a plane, babe. Birds don't go that high. Did you know that?
Did you know that? I didn't really understand the point of the bird. I was like, okay, it's just like a magician thing.
It's like a gag.
It really sucks when like the most iconic performance that features an animal of all time is fucking Slave for You. It's always going to be compared and holding a dove for 10 seconds at the end of your performance. It's just not going to do it. So PETA,
and it's a shame
I'm
because the performance was really good. I thought it was a great performance. Otherwise,
great.
I thought it was. I love the iterations of like vintage, sexy, campy Sabrina Carpenter. People keep saying it's over; they're bored of it, and I'm saying no. Now we've clicked into the airline stuff. I'm seeing the vision for the Men's Best Friend tour. I love it. Travel, give it to me. Destination, location. I loved. Also, the vocals I thought were much better than last year's. She had a good command of her voice. She sounded very strong. Manchild is not an easy song to sing. And she just seemed way more comfortable.
She looked great. She sounded great. I thought, I'm not sick of the Sabrina Carpenter thing. And I also thought that like, there were a few performances tonight that were really produced and like had the staging. And I really appreciate that. I really like a really big stage, over the top performance. And who better to do it than Sabrina? I thought that every time Sabrina does a performance like this, it's different. I never feel like I've seen this. I never feel like that. I thought it was great. definitely a highlight of the performances of the night for me.
Better than last year's, in my opinion, for her. Better than last year's.
Yes, she seemed a lot less nervous and like more confident this year, I would say for sure.
Loved.
Up next is the Best New Artist medley. I hated that this wasn't introduced. So when the Marias were on stage, first thing, right after the commercial break, it was like, what's going on? It wasn't. And also for just a second, they had Addison Rae underneath them. And I was like, that's wrong. And you knew that. This is the Marias. But I thought as an opener for the medley, because of their tone, it's so beautiful and romantic and light. It's like you can't plug this in after Cat's Eye. You can't be doing that. So I thought this was a great opener for the new artist medley because it's just like, oh, so lovely and gorgeous. And then going right into Addison Rae, Famous Again is upbeat, more upbeat, but it's not. So I really like the pacing of the Marias into Addison. I just thought, and she looks absolutely Gorgina, dark, mysterious, romantic. I liked it. I liked the performance. And then of course there's Addison.
I didn't really care about the Marias performance. Thought it was kind of boring, but it's just not my kind of thing, I think. I'm just not that interested in the Marias. So it wasn't, I was waiting for Addison, to be honest. And then there she was in the car park.
So at first, here's the thing about this medley is like everybody needs a different location because they have to set it up. So they put Addison in the car park. I thought she worked with the car park like a professional. I thought they gave her the car park and she said, give me the car park and I will give you the performance of a generation. I think that people's reactions to this performance is pretty much par for the course. There's something about her that agitates people. And I think it's because she's not the best vocally, I guess.
Haters out.
But it's like, this was a really entertaining performance. I thought it was really compelling. You can't take your eyes off her. You know, her eye contact on the camera is so great. Everything that she did, like she kept it moving. She's fascinating. The choreography was great. I don't understand like why people are shitting on this so much.
She's such a charismatic performer, and I think also she's very telegenic. So like when you put a camera on her, your eye is drawn to whatever she's doing. And it was for what she had to work with, it was a very well-paced performance. There was the reveal of the bikini. There were multiple different kind of choreo moments. I see people at the same time saying her vocals sucked and then also saying it wasn't live. And I'm like, okay, so pick one.
Can't
and
be both.
It was like-
It was definitely live.
In what parts of it were live. I think you know what I think it was? It was this thing that most people do. Actually, like Beyonce has done this. Taylor Swift did this on the Eras Tour. It's a live vocal, but the live vocal is pre-recorded. Can you imagine what the acoustics are like when you're performing in a car park? Can you imagine like the levels of like the PA system needing to get her microphone feed? It's probably impossible. Those are concrete walls. Like you can't just transmit a signal through that. But of course, no one ever thinks about that. You know,
Von Dutch, cares.
Also, that wasn't live. That was in the car park. It was pre-recorded because it has to be. And nobody's saying anything about that. So it's interesting to me who's allowed to sing and who's allowed to not be able to sing. I mean, Charlie's just doing karaoke with the autotune, you know? And here's Addison doing her damn best. And the point of her is not that she's Beyonce. She's not a singer. That's not the fucking point. But you're right. She brings out a specific derangement in people.
And it's really disappointing to me because it's people a lot of times that you wouldn't expect it from. Just people just like not being able to tolerate the fact that she exists. And it's like, you know, I've seen this film before. I've seen it many, many times with artists similar to Addison Rae. And it's just like, man, give it a rest. Aren't you tired? Aren't you
Slave
tired?
For You, you by the way, entirely lip synced one of the greatest performances of all time. Like, what are you talking about? It's really not about singing when you're a pop star. I'm sorry, it really isn't. That's not the point. Unless you are like a vocals first performer, which basically none of the main pop girls, bar like Beyonce, are. Also, it's funny that people will then be like, Cat's Eye's amazing. I'm like, well, let's talk about their vocals and their song.
The vocals on Cat's Eye, I know that they're talented. Like, here's the thing. I want to be really clear before we get into this. I know they're talented. I know they're amazing performers. Gnarly does not showcase any of those things. I'm legit. Gnarly. It just, like, doesn't sound pleasing in my ears. It doesn't sound good. Let's just get into this. So Addison, amazing. And then it transitions into Gnarly. I loved the transition.
Great.
And I loved
Great
in the
transition.
Background when you can see Addison sprinting to get out of the shot. It's so good. Amazing. Love the transition. What can I say? I mean, what do you want me to say about this? It was
a dance break.
In my opinion, it was a mess. I thought it really was like a mess. Mason hated it. I never want to hear that again. He liked Addison, for the record. So, you know, just putting that out there, but not Cat's Eye. And here's the thing. I just think that Gnarly, I get that it's the song. I get that it's the thing. This is what they're known for. This is kind of why they're here. But this is what you want to showcase on the Grammys? I'm legit.
They stuck out Gnarly, like a sore thumb
not everyone Gnarly. Else. And then all they did was their TikTok dance that we've seen 16 million times. I liked the ending of the choreo when they were doing other kinds of stuff, but I was disappointed because I know how good they are.
Why is Addison in the parking lot when they're on stage doing this nonsense? They're doing a dance break on stage. It was just so nothing to me. And it really pointed out like how silly it was that they were there. Like seeing them on the Grammy stage, I was like, this is absurd. Like they really shouldn't be here. I'm sorry. That's just how I feel about it. It was a mess.
And like, again, it's not about how talented they are or aren't. They're great.
Talented.
They can sing. Yes, we they like can dance. Them. They perform. They are entertainers. But it's like, damn, I hate this goddamn song. And it's like, I don't even know if Gabriella would have been a better choice necessarily. They don't have a lot of choices. They don't have an album.
This is the thing. Give them a year. Give them a year, yeah. And then put them up. I mean, it was setting them up, honestly, putting them in this category, having them do this performance, Paola. That's all I can think, Paola.
I did like their outfits. I thought that they looked amazing. I mean, period. But I'd rather watch their Gap ad any day than watch this performance again.
That's so true.
No, seriously, that Gap ad is so good. It's so good, absolutely delicious. So we go from Cat's Eye into Leon Thomas. I thought this was a great moment from the midpoint. It's like very mid-tempo. They put him, I think personally, out of all of the areas that you could get relegated into in this medley, the middle center stage, the little circle, that's probably the worst one. But you know what? For him, all he needed was his band. So it worked. I think they put the right person on the circle because it's really all he needed. And I thought he did a great job.
Great transition into what would end up being a flop segment. Alex Warren, unfortunately, steps out to do Ordinary and can't hear a damn thing. Can't hear thing. And he's like 10 beats behind the song.
If it makes him feel any better, I didn't notice. I don't know the song. So I didn't notice. I was just saying, there he is. And he was up in the air. People were clapping.
I noticed it. He looked upset about it. I would be upset too.
Yeah, that's your Grammy's debut. It's embarrassing. You're on national television. I felt badly for him when I saw his TikTok talking about it. Poor buddy. But
it's his first and last Grammys too. Yeah. So it's unfortunate that he didn't get his moment.
Alex, it was nice to meet you.
It was nice to know you. We won't do it again.
And then we went from Ordinary into a rendition of Messy by Lola Young. I wish we could have seen this outfit standing up. I love her new hair. I'd like to say that before it goes any further. I loved her new hair. She looks absolutely Gorgina. I think what she was trying to do with this, if there's a song that I didn't want stripped down on an acoustic piano rendition, it would be Messy by Lola Young. I think she was trying to showcase her vocals. You know, best new artist, I want to show that
and
I have, you know, a lot to give. She showcased.
She wailed at us. She wailed the most unserious song in the most serious possible way. This is like if Cat's Eye got a guitar and started doing Gnarly. Like, it's not as bad, but it's kind of in the same vein. And I've seen Lola Young perform before. She's good. She's got a lot of energy to give. So I think that we should have given her something better than forcing her to sit at a piano. And that's like, it's just not what she's even known for. Like, it's not playing to her strengths. So I was kind of like, this is ridiculous. But people loved it. So perhaps it was the correct decision.
I think that also doing Leon Thomas into Ordinary into this particular rendition of Messy, it just kind of made the middle of the medley sag. I think we could have like switched it up a little bit, but when I think about the bookends, I wouldn't change them either. So I kind of think maybe this is the best that it could have been done. If Messy wasn't on the piano, it'd be great. But unfortunately, yeah, it was. So, I mean, there you have it. I think she looked great. I think that it was a little bit of over-singing is what I would say about
for the song. Yes.
Yeah. There's moments where she sounded really good. And then at the end, I just thought it was too much. But
we get it. Like, we understood. You're at the piano. Yeah. You're singing the song. We understand that you can sing. To me, the next part, Olivia Dean, it was so obvious to me that the Grammys wanted her to win because, like, she's the focal point of the medley. It builds up to her. And yeah. her performance was, it was simply amazing. It was one of my favorite performances of the night. She was incredible.
The staging is Gorgina. I love it. They gave her the whole budget. There was, you know, $500 for the medley. Addison got $2. Cat's Eye got one.
Lola Young got 50 cents.
And then Olivia Dean got $475. And I clapped and I cheered. She looks amazing. Perfect outfit. Hair on point. That I love that giant reflective ball over her head. It's so Gorgina and just like perfectly fits her whole
legs
vibe
shining.
And her whole attitude. She just looks absolutely gorgeous. Sounded gorgeous. It was great. I loved it.
I love this song also. Madeline's not the hugest fan of Man I Need, but I'm obsessed with this song. And I really do think Back to Robbery, Song and Record of the Year, could have used a nomination. But this felt very much like, oh, now we're looking at the best new artist. It felt very intentional to put her there.
Period.
And to give her this budget.
And I liked Olivia Dean into Somber. I think Somber was the perfect choice for the closer of the medley. I've never seen him perform. This is my first time ever seeing Somber perform. I thought he was great. Perfect outfit. He looked really good in it. I liked the weird spinny microphone. He was jumping around. He was going into the audience. I would be, if I was a Best New Artist nominee, the people that he was approaching, he was going up to Queen Latifah and Doechii and trying to dance
and
with them.
And she was going, like, yes!
Yes, she loved it. He has a charisma. He's a good performer. It was very high energy. I liked it. I'm going to let him do it.
I thought it was great. I've never seen him perform before. I thought that his outfit was incredible. He also, like, he's one of those people that when I see him just, like, sitting still or, like, walking around, I'm like, loser. Then when he comes on stage, I'm like, oh, okay, I get it now. And we said the exact same thing. I said, Harry Styles, this is what you think that you're doing.
Yeah, man, it's like when you think about Harry's performance of, was it As It Was at the Grammys where
Watermelon
he won
Sugar.
Album of the Year? That performance quieted me in so many ways. And it's like,
with
I know that he can perform better than that. I know that he's very charismatic on stage. I know he can do all that. I have not seen that yet on this main stage. And then Somber shows up and does it like it's the easiest thing he's ever done. And he's what, 10 years younger than him?
The showmanship. New. Life of a showboy. Yeah. Showboy.
Life of a showboy. Somebody has to say it. And I really do love this outfit. I think of all of the male outfits, the outfits that men wore tonight, this might be my favorite one. It's just perfect.
He's a mirrorball.
Benson Boone, watch your back too. Everybody should be watching.
Benson Boone, seriously, yeah. Watch your back.
So that was the Best New Artist medley. Up next, this is one that I see people arguing about. This is the one that everyone's like, oh, so you didn't like Addison Rae, but you liked Justin Bieber? Luckily for me, I liked both. Luckily for me, I liked both. But I have to tell you, people are like, you know, if a woman did this, you're right for the misogynist, for Madeline. If Addison Rae walked onto stage in bra and panty and loop pedaled a guitar and did this rendition of Fame Is a Gun, I'd be like, this is genius. This
well,
is
she
the
couldn't
most
do
cunt
it.
Thing I've ever seen that, in my though. Life. This is amazing. But the thing about Justin, and I get that this is controversial, he's one of the most talented people. He's so goddamn talented. He has an X factor. He's compelling to watch. He's a great performer. I understand he's standing there in his bra and panty and a guitar and his socks. And there's a lot of really over-the-top performances. And people are like, but you're saying this is good? I am. Both things can be good. Understated performances can be good, and over-the-top performances can be good. I liked it. I thought it was really good.
I hated it.
Oh, period.
I hated
period.
This.
Okay.
It was bra and panty. I found that
panty?
I like a stripped-down performance, especially I've seen Justin Bieber do this before. He's done it with Love Yourself. He's done it with As Long As You Love Me. I thought he sounded amazing. I love his voice. Like, he has such a specific tone that, like, no other male artist has. I thought the song choice was bizarre. I was like, why aren't we doing a different song? And this song is usually pitched up, too. And I just found it to be incredibly tedious and boring. It was like Ed Sheeran, but try to make it cool. and he was either looking at himself in the mirror or hugging himself with his eyes closed. And I just frankly found it to be not compelling at all. I was bored.
I don't know. I liked it.
Bron Kenty.
You know what? I have the benefit. It works. Nobody can get me for this. But you said this. It's like, well, I said all the girls amazing and Justin Bieber, so you can't get me. No misogyny
and Haley
in my
doing.
Bones. Yeah.
I was like,
she,
okay.
You know what? She cheerleads for this man. She cheerleads for this man. And good for her. I'm saying this is wifey material. What do you want me to say?
It is. Bron Penty. He must have been cold.
Bron Penty. That's why he's hugging himself. I also loved his purple guitar, although I thought purple was owned by Olivia Rodrigo.
That's what I said. I said he's got his Guts guitar out. But it was his color first. Remember when he was doing one time? He had the purple hoodie.
Oh my God. I didn't even think of that as being like an homage. Oh, period.
It was
okay,
his color
well,
first.
Controversial performance. I think you either loved it or you hated it. And that's on period.
Is Justin Bieber hot? Yes. Yes.
But we already knew it.
But we
you know,
knew
there's
that.
Something in his eyes. Have you ever noticed he has this, especially recently? There's like an unhinged kind of, I could snap
no, he
at
looks
any
almost,
moment.
It's sad. It's a sadness. Yeah. It's a deep, dark sadness. And many people are drawn to that.
And we'll never understand.
I can fix him. You
Justin?
Can't. No, you can't though.
Thank you so much. Up next, Lady Gaga.
A lampshade.
With her fucking cock out. Wicker basket on. Kane out. MAGA called it demonic. That's how you know it's good. I really liked that it was different from any performance we've seen her do of Abracadabra. She's done it so many times, and I thought this was great. Just original, rocked out the camera. I liked it.
I loved her VMA performance, but it was just like the Coachella performance again, which is incredible. Don't get me wrong. That is one of my favorite performances of last year. But I think that you're right. It wasn't really stripped down per se, because I felt like the music, the arrangement was dialed up. I thought she was focusing a lot more on her musicianship when she was doing this performance, because this song is hard to sing. Abracadabra actually requires a lot of singing, and she was still doing the choreo and moving. I thought the camera work was really cool. That added a whole layer to the performance, but Gaga's always going to do something different, and I really appreciate that about her. To me, this is one of the best performances of the night.
It was amazing. I did wish that the wicker basket came off halfway through. I was like, she's gonna take it off, and then it never came off. It was a stylistic choice. It rocked, but if it had come off, I would have cheered. But it didn't. She said the basket
I'm hearing
stays
it.
On.
I didn't know what she the was doing with on. The piano. She was just pressing buttons.
I was watching, like, and I was trying to figure out what she was doing, and I had no answers. So I was like, you know what? If she wants to fake it out, I'm gonna let her do it. Go on, Gaga.
Do it.
Do it. Up next, Bruno Mars returns. He wants to be Sabrina.
He's on the set of the Me music video.
Yeah. He is. He's doing Brandon Urie's Me music video.
Yeah.
I don't, of all of the songs that Bruno has been putting out, I do not like this one at all. I don't like it. It's boring.
It's algorithm bait to me. And the performance was boring.
Yeah. Bruno, I think, honestly, I really think he's best when he collaborates with other artists. I just kind of think, I don't want this to sound like I'm shading him in any way, shape, or form, but like, he is so great at bringing out the best in who he's working with. When I see him on his own, I'm like, there needs to be something else there. I feel like that sounds really shady, but some you guys are going to know what I mean. It's just like, he's really great at being in a duo and like raising up other and like writing for other artists and helping other artists make their song, like APT, Die With A Smile. The Sexy Red song that he did, notwithstanding, it was Sexy Red, right? That horrible, like,
I don't know what you're talking about.
Anyway, he's
and it sounds like I don't
really
need
great
to.
Songs. He's released some really great songs. I do not care for this very much at all.
No.
Thank you.
No, this wasn't that interesting. It wasn't. Sorry.
Up next, we had Tyler the Creator. He did a mashup. Regina King showed up, and I gagged hard. I was not expecting that, and people in the audience were not reacting as they should have. For Regina King.
I didn't know it was
up.
Her until after. I didn't clock who it was until after.
It was the diva to end all divas. And I cheered
That's
and I
Cinderella
clapped.
Story.
Tyler, he's such an interesting performer to me. And it's like every time he's going to perform, it's always going to be something really sort of like cinematic almost. I really appreciate the way he does his performances. He's really creative. I think it's crazy they let him blow something up on the Grammy stage. I thought that was, it was amazing, but I was like, I cannot believe they let him do that. But it was awesome. I liked it. I thought it was really good. And this was by far the superior hip hop performance of the night, in my opinion.
I hate the song Sugar on My Tongue. It's not for me. But I thought that the staging was incredible. It was kind of giving at one point Olivia Rodrigo's driver's license performance from the Grammys with the car in the background. I was like, yes.
Let him do it.
Go back to the classics. But I thought, and when he died at the end, I mean, it was very theatrical. So I thought it was very interesting to watch, but different from a usual award show performance.
It was definitely one of those ones where you're like, what is going on? I love stuff like that, where it's like, what is he going to do next? I love stuff like that. And Tyler's really great at doing stuff like that. He's just going to do whatever he wants, and it's great. So I liked it.
Yeah.
I liked it. Then we got to the in memoriam and tribute section. I was like, too many people have passed on. This is crazy. I could not believe Reba has never performed at the Grammys before. These colors don't run. I couldn't believe it. This was the first time.
Reba, I'm so sorry. This song. Oh, girl.
It was so on the nose.
That's $10 in a six-pack song. That is not supposed to be on the Grammys.
It was good. She looked great. Reba, I always like to see Reba, but this was not my favorite part of this whole section.
Then we got Post Malone.
Yeah. Then we got Post Malone. Honestly, I'm at this point with Post Malone.
Get him out. Out.
Where I can't take it anymore. When he strolled out. This is an in memoriam. This is specifically for Ozzy Osbourne. And you are strolling out with your solo cup and your gas station hat on. And you're doing your Post Malone shtick. Some people like it. Some people are like, I thought it was amazing. I just can't deal with him. I don't know. It's like a bias I have. I'm just over it. I don't like it.
Every time I see Post Malone, it's in a context that I think he shouldn't be in, such as collaborating with fucking Beyonce or, I don't know, performing this tribute to Ozzy Osbourne. Like, who said, oh, you know who we need to get on the mic to do this? Oh, we need Post Malone. Why? Hayley Williams could have, like, eaten that the fuck up in a way that would have gagged and slayed the house down boots.
But they never would have done it. Because of the misogyny. Not a woman in sight.
Even, like, a Brandon Flowers could have eaten that up. Like, there are other people that are more technically proficient at doing this that could have done it. I hate Post Malone's idea that he can just do whatever. Actually, you're only kind of good at everything you do. You're literally mid at everything and you're doing it all. Like, how many things can you be mid at? This is male privilege.
I'm saying it. And you know what? It should have been Miley Cyrus. It should have been Hayley Williams. But again, for a dollar, name a woman. They won't do it. Not in rock and roll. They won't do it.
Horrible.
So, Post Malone... You're nothing. Thank you so much.
You're nothing.
And then we had the gag of the whole night. Ms.
This was
Lauryn
the gag.
Hill graced us with her presence. And that outfit that she had on, it was just so regal and powerful to me. I was like, this, it's everything. And the fact that they just kept coming. More songs, more songs, more artists, more artists. John Legend, Chaka Khan, who else? I mean, it was just like, who's going to come out onto the stage? It was amazing. Lauryn Hill, thank you so much. We really don't.
When Chaka Khan came out, I was like, oh, we're in different fucking areas. We really are in different areas.
Wyclef Jean.
Wyclef Jean. But Lauryn Hill, to me, like, it was so nice to see her in a triumphant setting because she's been a very embattled live performer. And it's been such a tricky road for her to, like, get her footing in terms of, like, being the force that she is. So I thought that, like, this was a brave, really big swing. It was technically difficult. She was singing a lot and a lot of different things. And she just really knocked it out of the park. And I think that must have felt so healing to her to finally, like, really fucking nail a live performance after years of kind of being plagued by technical issues, confidence issues. It was a beautiful moment.
It was. And, you know, Lauryn Hill, there's a part of me that's like, I really kind of like, I loved watching Lauryn Hill when I was very, very young. So it's like, I didn't grow up with Lauryn Hill in the sense that, oh, she was a huge part of my childhood and I like all these years, but it's like some of my most formative years, I had Lauryn Hill on my TV screen. So I was clapping and I was cheering. I loved it.
Man. I think she was the first female rap artist ever to get a number one on the Hot 100.
Mm-hmm. And we cheered. Right. And we cheered. Yes! The diva.
We cheered.
So unfortunately, the final performance of the night was a really sorry place. I shouldn't say that. It just wasn't as up to par. Certainly not as compared to the other really big hip-hop performance of Tyler, the Creator. We had Pharrell Williams and Clips. I didn't understand the song choice. Pharrell Williams is lip-syncing. It wasn't given enough. And it was the finale, technically, because it was the final performance. Tyler cleared with ease. I think they should have switched the locations of both of those performances. Tyler should have been the final performance. Not my favorite performance of the night. So just a disappointing overall performance to end the night.
Just not fun, not great. But overall, you know what? I actually expected this Grammys to be worse than it was. And I was kind of seated the whole time. Like, I was interested from start to finish. The part where they really lost me was with Pharrell's acceptance speech and then performance. That's where I was really kind of like, huh, shoo. But eventually, Album of the Year, that always lights me up.
I did, if I'm going to give Pharrell a bone, Mama Likes a Pink Suit. Mama Likes a Pink
Suit. Mama Likes a Pink Suit. But I'm saying, let's go back to clothes. Music has moved on.
Period. So that was the Grammys. I liked it. Some sneaks.
Why the hell not?
Why the hell not? Now, Grammys 2027. Showgirl. I've already seen people saying, I can't wait for Fate of Ophelia to cop Song of the Year.
In your
Does
dreams.
Does that sound like something you want? Well, let me tell you.
Record
you're never
of the
gonna
Year,
get
maybe.
It.
I'm telling you, it's not
Record of
Song
the Year.
Of the Year.
But people are speaking real hasty, considering the song, like, songs ain't even out yet. You don't even know what's coming, girls. Like, there could be a song that makes Fate of Ophelia look like child's play in terms
that
of numbers.
Kind of song
I'm talking about.
Doesn't fare well in the category either. Those songs never, like, Espresso, those kinds of songs, We Are Never didn't take it, Shake It Off didn't take it, Antihero didn't take it. Like, those Taylor Swift songs do not get awarded very well. So I think that's not a shoo-in to me. Do I think Life of a Showgirl is going to win Album of the Year? Absolutely not. Pop solo performance, maybe.
Maybe, but again, it depends because the girls are coming. Beyonce Act 3 could be coming out. I'm expecting it, honestly, low-key. I'm kind of thinking 2026 Beyonce Act 3. Harry Styles is definitely releasing. I'm not saying anything more than it's releasing, and I know the Grammys like him. So there's that. I think Olivia Rodrigo is gearing up to release. So she could be there. Gracie Abrams, never say never.
Not a chance for her, unfortunately.
Charlie,
but
the Wuthering Heights soundtrack, maybe. I'm not sure. She could definitely win one of those movie-focused awards, like Best Song for Visual Media, something like that.
Her genre awards are on lock for the rest of time, I feel.
And then the 1975, I think, is supposed to release. Which could be something that could get nominated. I'm actually not sure about that. And then I had some maybes. I think Billie might release this year. I don't know.
She can keep it.
Chapel Roan, maybe. I don't know. She's not really seeming like she's gearing up for anything, but you never say never. SZA, In My Dreams. It probably
in
won't
dreams,
happen.
Really.
But if it did, it's over for you bitches. Just know that. And last but not least, Stove. I mean, you never know. Stove could come for everybody.
And they were
next.
Saying
you
it was
going to
come out last Friday. Did you get the stove?
Did you get the stove? And she's talking about, I'm not Lana Del Rey anymore. I'm Lana Del Dufresne. Not on my watch.
You don't want stove. You don't want stove. We need to be saying, can stove come up with something else instead of saying release stove.
Stove is over. Stove is canceled.
Now,
been canceled.
All About Ethel could be Song of the Year next year. It could.
And I would welcome it with open arms.
I need to hear that full song because I know it's crazy.
I think that 57.5, potentially it could be like a big Lana Del Rey song, but we'll never know.
I forgot to mention Jack Antonoff won Song of the Year. So now he has all the big pop four.
Oh, yes. And congratulations to him. I think deserved.
Congratulations, Mr. Antonoff. I mean, oh, and the producer of the year was Circuit, who I learned that's how you pronounce his name. I've been calling him Sirkut and Cricket, which are not his names. So he won. I think he worked with Gaga a lot on this record. Congratulations. And Amy Allen won Songwriter of the Year. Deserved. Julia Michaels wishes.
Does that sound like something you want? Well, let me tell you, you're never going to get it. Amy Allen, congratulations.
Congratulations, Amy Allen. We appreciate you. And congratulations to all the winners except Billie Eilish.
Period.
Well, we hope you enjoyed this Grammys chat. Let us know how you felt about the way things shook out this year. And we will see you shortly. Goodbye.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.